You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Kia ora, James.
Kia ora.
It's good to have you on the show. How's your morning been?
Pretty good so far. Yeah, beautiful sunny day in Wellington, as per usual.
As per usual. Oh, it's a bit messy up here. So we're nearing the end of the year with this being the last of our weekly chats until next year, and with Parliament rising on the 21st, I think. How do you feel this year's gone for you? I mean, you must be pretty stoked as far as years go.
You're bang on, mate. I mean, it's not every year that you find yourself in government at the end of it, so we're pretty pleased that for the first time ever in the Green Party's history that we are in government and with ministers and in areas that are absolutely central to the work that that we've been talking about for a long time now, like climate change and conservation, gender pay, and so on. So, yeah, really pleased. And I think, you know, no surprise that it was a pretty tumultuous year for us. And so the fact that it's ended well is a real bonus.
Mm. And so, as you said, it's the first time ever the Greens in government with ministerial portfolios, and it's been about 2 months since that was announced. How has that transition been now that you've sort of settled in and had these 2 months to take time? Has it been tough?
Well, it's been busy, which is kind of shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. We're sort of, as you say, cooking an omelette and building a kitchen at the same time. There are still staff appointments being made. I've still got boxes that I haven't unpacked from when we moved in from my MP office into the ministerial office and so on. At the same time, we've been gearing up for the 100-day program, which is a pretty ambitious agenda for any incoming government.
And how do you think the party's doing in terms of meeting the 100-day goal, such as the introduction of a net zero by 2050 policy?
Well, we made the big announcement on that on the world stage at the United Nations Conference on Climate Change in Bonn about 3 weeks after getting sworn in as the new government. So I was really pleased to be able to do that on behalf of the new government. And we're going to make another major announcement just this side of Christmas about what our plan is around the specifics of the Zero Carbon Act. So I know it's getting close to Christmas and people's attention is waning, but I am hoping to get out some news about that before people head off on holiday.
Climate change is a year-round problem. It doesn't take a break on Christmas.
No, it does not.
So what do you think you've learned over the past few months? Is there anything you'd sort of go back and advise yourself on when you first got into Parliament?
Well, some of this stuff is structural, right? So one of the things that I've been saying is that one of the things that the US does, which we don't do, I think there's a lot of things that they do that we wouldn't want to do, but when it comes to democracy, one thing that they do well is that they have this formal transition period. You know, so you have your election, then there's a transition, you hire your staff, get your plans up and running, then you get sworn in and you get rolling. Whereas we kind of go straight from election night into, you know, negotiating the new government. As soon as that's announced, you actually go into the formation of government. And at the same time, you know, you're actually reorganizing all of the business of government simultaneously. I think that we could do with a slightly more ordered process, shall we say, for that transition. What have I personally learned? I mean, it's a gargantuan kind of learning curve, if you like, as you can imagine. I've described the shift as being from being an MP to being a minister as great as being as the shift from being a kind of, you know, normal person into being a member of parliament. And at the same time, we're very well supported by the staff and by the departments and so on. So that does take the edge off it.
So I suppose it's quite a big change in mindset when you're approaching politics.
Yeah, I mean, I think this place, it's no secret to anybody that, Parliament is a pretty unique institution and operates according, you know, to a sort of set of rules and principles that would be unfamiliar to most people. So, you know, when people come in for the first time, especially if you haven't had any prior experience on the campus as an advisor or anything like that, it does take a little while to get used to the systems and processes.
Some political commentators and journalists and even some of our listeners have been commenting on one of the changes, which is that you seem to be a lot more conservative with your responses in the media and more conservative in criticizing things in government. Do you think this is the case?
Well, the relationship changes, right? Because when you're in opposition, the relationship with the media changes quite a lot, because in opposition, your job really is to critique the government to sort of try and find the holes in their approaches, and for quite good reason, right? The purpose there is to actually keep the government of the day on their toes and to therefore improve them, you know, to improve the quality of legislation, to improve the performance of ministers and so on. So it's an important role. And then, of course, in government, you're not critiquing the government, because you are the government, and your job is much more about to get the news out about what it is that you're doing and what your program of work is.
Well, when you guys first got into power, the party was quite vocal about the supply and confidence agreement, which meant you could criticize Labor and criticize New Zealand First and be transparent and vocal about your thoughts. But this hasn't really been happening. For example, a few weeks ago, I asked you if you had any thoughts on our broadcasting models and how they could change, and you said you did, but that's something that should be left to Labor's broadcasting minister. And before that, the whole party refused to comment on issues around Manus Island, and even one MP told me that it broke their heart that they couldn't comment on the issue. So what's the point of being a progressive party that people voted in to have their own perspective on issues if you can't and won't vocalise these perspectives?
Well, actually, we were pretty strong on Manus Island, saying that actually that New Zealanders expected us to do more, and that we ought to be tougher with our Australian partners on this.
Well, you were, and then 1 week every MP stopped talking about it.
Yes, and I think I said at the time that, as with all things when it comes to international diplomacy, there are times when you state your case, and there are others where you try and allow the process to take place. But, you know, we got elected to be a government, right, and to get some things done. So that's essentially what we do.
And so is criticism not part of getting things done?
At times it is, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Is there, has the Labor Party perhaps asked you to be less vocal about issues?
So there are times when you're in government when, you can play that role of the critical friend, and then there are times when it's not appropriate. And so you just have to judge those as you go through.
How do you make that judgment?
I think it depends on the issue, and there are some times when actually you can get a lot more done just by having a word with the relevant minister. And saying, actually we've got some ideas about how this could go differently. Some of that depends on the relationships between your ministers. But when you're in opposition, you don't really have that opposition. So you kind of have to tend to revert to doing it via the media.
So it's more working internally with your fellow MPs and going externally.
Yeah, that's right. And in many ways, I mean, that's literally just how government works.
Mm. Do you think there's any issues with transparency there?
I know that there's this kind of ongoing story about how the National Party have asked, 7,000 questions, which is, five times as many questions at this point in the cycle as has ever been asked before. And in part, that's, kind of just what happens when you've got a really large opposition party like that, that feels that that's, what they need to do to test us. We are kind of working on improving our systems and processes as we get the government up and running. I know this government certainly has a commitment to open government and transparency. In fact, we've actually got a minister for open government in the form of Claire Curran, who is sort of starting to develop the program for what that looks like.
Mm. And moving back to sort of like things that you've experience first moving into Parliament, was entering Parliament with our former co-leader Matiria Ture, was that quite difficult? Because surely that's something you wouldn't have expected a couple of months before the election.
Moving into government without her?
Yeah.
Well, of course, I would have anticipated under normal circumstances that, if we'd gotten into government, then Matiria would have been a minister.
Mm. And when are we expecting a new co-leader?
I understand that the party is currently putting together a timetable for that, but I don't think that they've made any final decisions yet.
Right. Do you think that will influence the party's dynamic much at all, if there was a new leader in place? Oh, co-leader, sorry.
Yeah, to a point. I mean, I think often the role of the co-leaders is overstated from, you know, people who are sort of outside the system. Mm. Co-leaders are there really to kind of represent what the party thinks, and new leaders don't, unlike some political parties, don't have the ability really to kind of yank the party off in different directions. And again, that's, you know, mitigated even more by the fact that there's two of us. And so it is more like a kind of a chief spokesperson role, if you like.
Yeah, it's not quite the dictatorship that a few people imagine it to be.
That's right. And I think that, so there is a moderating effect on the role of leadership. So it can affect how we are perceived externally, but it doesn't have a great effect on, say, the strategy or the policy or anything like that.
Mm. Well, just finally, what are you up to on the summer break? What are you doing over Christmas?
I'm heading to the beach with a very large pile of reading, and quite looking forward to it, I have to say.
Mm. What's on your reading list? Are you fiction, non-fiction, a bit of both?
This will mostly be ministerial briefings, so I'm hoping it's non-fiction.
Right. Well, kia ora, James. Thank you so much for your time. All of this year, it's been great talking to you and getting your insight into political issues.
Yeah, you too, pal. Thanks for having me on the show. Look forward to catching up with you in the new year.
Kia ora. Have a great break.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.